study. The name of the message tonight is Christian Growth. Christian Growth. And I think by the time we're done the message, you'll understand why I titled it that. Because there's not a... We don't have to write 10,000 books on how to grow in Christ. The Scriptures tell us. They tell us. And they... The believer's encouraged as he studies the Word of God and grows in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ by the preaching of the gospel. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2. I'll read the verse from last week, verse 6, because it ties right in with tonight's verse. I actually almost tied the two of them together last week, but this verse has its own message too, so I wanted to go over it separately. So Colossians chapter 2 was last week's verse, so look at this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And in tonight's verse is rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So last week we looked at verse 6, where we looked at how we are to walk in Christ. We are to walk in Christ in our daily lives, the same way as we received Christ. And how did we receive Christ? By faith. So we're to walk daily in this life by faith. And remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust our King. We don't see Him, but we trust Him. He's the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we walk by faith in the same manner that we received Him. We are to continue to walk in Him. Walk in Him. And we are not perfected. Now we know we're not perfected, or we're not comforted, and we're not accepted by any of our own works. We know that. Scripture proclaims that, doesn't it? Not at all. But we are only forgiven of all our sins in Christ Jesus. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Not in anything we do. Salvation and forgiveness of sins is in Christ and Him alone. So again, how did we receive Christ? How did we receive Him? Well, we received Him as the sum and substance of all true saving faith, the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. That's the Greek words for A to Z and everything in between. That's Christ. He's the Alpha of our salvation, and He's the Omega, the A to Z of our salvation. So it's all Him. It's all Him. He saves us, and He keeps us saved. This is why we say salvation's of the Lord. It's of Him. It's of Him. So how else did we receive Him? As the fulfillment of all promises. All the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. They're all fulfilled in Him. As are all spiritual blessings, right? All spiritual blessings we know from Ephesians chapter 1 are in Christ. They're all in Him. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And in Him alone, all the promises of God, I like this, in Christ, all the promises of God find their end and their fulfillment. In Christ. So, salvation's all about what He's done for us, we who believe. We're receivers of this grace. Receivers of the gift of faith. It's incredible. How else did we receive Him? We received Him as the fountain of all grace, the spring of eternal life. He's the source of our salvation. It springs from Him. It springs from Christ, what He did upon the cross. It all springs from Him. Our righteousness springs from Him. Our salvation springs from Him. Our redemption springs from Him. All by the shedding of His precious blood on Calvary's cross. It's incredible. Salvation's of the Lord. It's all of Him. So we find our completion. The believer finds their completion of their salvation in Christ. All in Him. How else did we receive Him? We received Him as the whole of our acceptance. Our acceptance before God is our righteousness. Because Scripture says that our righteousness is like filthy rags before the eyes of the Lord, because we're all sinners. We're born sinners. So the righteousness we have is not accepted by God. So in other words, the works that we do are not accepted by God to get us into heaven. We must have the perfect righteousness of Christ. The righteousness that He wrought when He was here upon the earth. The act of obedience, remember we talked about that before, theological term for the righteousness of Christ, that He was, His act of obedience in His life is credited to us. That's His righteousness. What He did for His people. He's sinless. He's perfect. He's spotless. Even when He's dying on the cross, our sins were imputed to Him. What a God. What a Savior. And how else did we receive Him? When we first believed, we received Him as the object of our faith. The object of our faith. So we continue to walk this way. We continue to walk this way in our lives as Christians. He is the object of our faith, the object of our hope, the object of our love. Like Paul said, He's our all in all. He's everything. Christ is everything to me. Without Christ, I have nothing except my own filthy righteousness. But in Christ, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Accepted before a holy and righteous God, a sinner. Why? Because the imputed righteousness of Christ, I'm clothed in that. It's incredible. It's truly amazing grace. It's truly amazing grace. So we walk in the same manner as we received Him. And when we received the Lord, we came gratefully. We came humbly, we came joyfully, we came unreservedly, we came with no reservations at all, right? We just flew to Christ. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of Thy power. He made us willing, and we ran. We ran. We ran. That's the same way we should continue to walk in Him, beloved. See, we don't need to go to some bookstore trying to make a bunch of money and read a book on how to live a Christian life, do we? No. We're to walk in Him the same way as we received Him, by faith. By faith. Trust in Him every second and every moment of the day. And God's people do this. We live day by day in this faith, trusting. Trusting our eternal souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And resting and reposing in Him and Him alone. Now we struggle, don't we? We've talked about that many times. I struggle all the time. None of us is perfect. Grace preachers will tell you, we're sinners saved by grace. And that's what I am. A sinner saved by grace. And I struggle all the time. The hardest thing is to enter into that rest. For me. But the Lord gives grace. I get strengthened when I hear a gospel message. Get strengthened in reading the Word of God. Praying, God gives us strength and grace. Right? We keep on going because the Lord keeps us. And what a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. So let's look at tonight's verse with that overview in mind. Tonight's verse, rooted and built up in Him. So the believer is rooted and built up in Christ, and established in the faith. As ye have been taught, God's people are taught. They're taught by the Holy Spirit of God. And then abounding therein with thanksgiving. God's people abound in thanksgiving. Now, rooted means exactly what it sounds like here. Paul is showing us that this living in Christ he's showing us what it is, and it's a vital union that we have with Christ. It's a vital union that the believer has with Christ. Firmly implanted in Christ is the infinite and all-sufficient source of our salvation, which is full and free and only found in Christ. Now, remember what Paul's battling, okay? He's battling the Gnostic error, right? Which is saying it's Christ plus something. So again, once again, just like in chapter 1, Paul is continuously grounding the believers. And what the part of this verse that goes with what Paul's doing is the building up. Preachers build up. We lay upon foundations that other preachers have already laid, but the main foundation is Christ, you see? And then preaching just builds upon those foundations. See, I'm coming in and just building upon where Jim was. And Jim's doing the same down in 13th Street where Bill was. Just building upon that foundation with the preaching of the gospel. It's incredible. It's incredible. And I was listening to Henry today, and it was so encouraging. He said, where God has a people and sheep, he puts a pastor there. He puts a preacher there. Isn't it amazing? Three churches now have a preacher. It's incredible. As I know, the one in Georgia didn't have one for a long time. Now they got a preacher. 13th Street got a preacher. Indio got a preacher. It's incredible. God just moves and does as he pleases and moves his preachers to wherever God's sheep are. It's amazing. It's amazing. Truly amazing. So now we are to have deep roots in Christ, just as a mighty oak tree. You ever seen a mighty oak tree? Big old oak trees, eh? I love those. Just love those big old... It doesn't matter what kind of tree it is. Brother Neil Wagner has some just massive trees on his property. They're huge, big old trees. And I just love seeing those trees because you know they're hundreds of years old, some of them. And they're just they just stand in there firm and majestic, right? It's incredible. It's incredible. You see these big old oak trees. So we're using oak tree as an example. And it has deep roots into the ground. The roots just go down and just go into the ground. And from what I've read, sometimes they cling around rocks. They cling around rocks or they just burrow right into the soil. And they just cling there. The roots are in deep, really deep. So when a strong windstorm or a strong rainstorm comes, right, we've seen this, the tree just bends over and on. Sometimes they bend almost right over. You're thinking, man, that tree's going to come down. But it just, whoo, back over again. Back over again. Just entrenched in the roots, just rooted right into the ground. Firmly entrenched in the rocks and in the ground. It has a firm foundation, beloved. A firm foundation. The tree rocks back and forth as the wind blows, but it's firmly fixed. Firmly fixed, held firm by the roots. And when the storm passes, the tree is still there. Standing firm. Fixed. Now, beloved of God, we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God need the roots of true saving faith in Christ. The roots of true saving faith in Christ. Being rooted in Christ, in Him alone, will enable us to withstand the floods of watered-down perversions of the gospel. And the winds, the high winds of false teachers who attempt to turn us away from Christ, blowing to and fro. And that's, false teachers will try to attempt to turn you away from Christ to another gospel, which is not another gospel, but it's a perversion of the gospel. And we who believe need the roots of true saving faith. We need to be embedded into the truth, don't we? Embedded into the truth. And we need our roots to go and be firm around what? The rock of our salvation. Holding firm. Holding firm to Him. Christ, the rock of our salvation. And let us ponder this too. As the root receives nourishment from the soil, an increase for the tree, so we who are rooted in Christ receive nourishment from Him through the preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Word. We receive nourishment only from our King. The Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture. or touches our heart through the preaching of His Word. And we rejoice. We receive strength. Strength. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 17 to 19. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. Look at this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. We are to be rooted and grounded in love. How does that happen? By the Holy Spirit. He roots and grounds us in love. Love for Christ, love for the brethren, love for the gospel. Love for the gospel. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. But the Scripture says there, rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded. We draw nourishment in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The preaching of His Word, the reading of His Word, and the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. Teaches us. Christ is the source of all our spiritual blessings, and the Holy Spirit has us grow in the knowledge and truth of our blessed Redeemer as He reveals more and more. I've talked to you guys many times about this. Think back when the Lord first saved you and what you know now. It's incredible. And it's all because He's taught us this. We can't boast about anything. He's taught us all this. These wonderful truths. And I'm not going to list them tonight, but I'll give you a couple. Think of election. Think of redemption. Think of sanctification, justification. These marvelous doctrines. But they're all rooted in Christ. They're all in Him. It's incredible. Those who have received Christ Jesus the Lord are built up in Him, established in the faith by the Holy Spirit of God. We grow and learn more and more about Christ. Which leads to our next point, rooted and built up in Him. Built up in Him. Paul continues to use metaphors to explain the wonderful gospel truths. Remember, he used a metaphor of a military unit in verse 5, where he said, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joy in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. And remember, he used that when we went over that verse. There was a military aspect to that, the order and the steadfastness of a military unit, the Roman units, and how they moved as one. They moved as one. We talked about that as a body. We move as one. It's only one message we proclaim. One Lord we serve. Only one. So Paul continues to use metaphors, just as our Lord did too. He used metaphors and word pictures. So here in verse 5, he's speaking of the order and the steadfastness. And in verse 6, he used a metaphor of walking, how we're to walk in Him by faith, and how we're to walk through this whole life by faith. Now in this verse, he continues to use metaphors, first of a tree rooted, and now of a building being built up and established in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as the Greek words, we'll look at the Greek words later on, we'll see that they have these meanings. So the Holy Spirit has Paul pen these precious truths using metaphors to build us up in Christ and to show us that this is what we have in Christ. This is who we are in Christ. And let us remember that our Lord used simple word pictures to explain who He was. He said, I'm the bread of life. That's a metaphor. I'm the bread of life. He used word pictures. The water of life, the door, the way, the truth, the life, and many, many, many more. The fountain, he's it. It's incredible. And by these metaphors and these word pictures, Not only by these metaphors in this verse and others we've looked at, the apostle expresses the safe and joyful state of believers in Christ. Paul uses these metaphors by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to engage the Colossian believers and we who are reading this tonight, right now, to walk on in Christ the same way we received Him. And giving us instruction as to the manner in which the believer should walk and how they should walk day by day, which is by faith. And now believers are compared to trees, and as these trees of righteousness, which are the planting of the Lord, remember too. We didn't plant ourselves. Planting of the Lord, and He is our root. Our roots go to Christ and Him alone. He's the spring from which we get all our nourishment. And it is by Him that we are that we have any fruits of righteousness. Right? It's by Him that we have the fruit of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit working within us. Here's an interesting note for the word rooted at the very first of this verse. Listen to this. Number one, the first cause, it means this: to cause to strike root. To cause to strike root. To strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, establish, cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. Cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. They don't ground themselves. Salvation's of the Lord. And He keeps teaching us. And we keep growing in Him. See how it's all His work? It's incredible. It's amazing. So God, the Holy Spirit, regenerates us and causes us to strike roots in Christ. He causes us. He gives us faith to believe. That's what the Greek word's saying here, to cause to strike root. When I read that, I had to stop for a minute. I was rejoicing. Once again, salvation's of the Lord. God's grace is amazing. It's amazing. Believers are to abide in Christ and walk in Him. We are to derive all our life from Him, our nourishment from Him, our fruitfulness comes from Him. All grace comes from Him. All perseverance comes from Him. It all comes from Christ. It's incredible. It's amazing. But yet we walk. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. And we're sinners, right? We fail all the time. Yet He keeps us. Praise God, He does. Oh my. Established. Fixed. What a great God. What a great Savior. Now Paul here uses a metaphor of here of a building with this built up in Him. The Greek word for build is defined as to build upon, built up. Metaphorically, to be built upon is parts of a spiritual structure, which we'll look at in Ephesians 3:20. If you want to turn there, you can turn to Ephesians 3:20. And it also means, a third meaning in there is to build up, carry up a building, to build up in spiritual advancement. So the Holy Spirit teaches us through the Scriptures, and we grow in grace. We don't even know we're growing, but we do, as He teaches us. As He teaches us. It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. We are built up in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God in His power. It is truly amazing grace. Now, Paul, actually, keep your finger in Ephesians 3 and just go over to 1 Corinthians 3:7. I want to bring this out. Paul's dealing with preacher worship in 1 Corinthians. He's dealing with preacher worship. Now, it still happens today. Don't ever worship the preacher. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Unfortunately, people put preachers on the pedestal and they never should. Don't do it. I remember Gene Harmon saying, Don't put me on a pedestal. I'll let you down every time. Just we're sinners saved by grace, proclaiming the one who can save anyone who comes to it, that he draws. We're preaching one who can save anyone he wills. It's Christ. It's Christ and him alone. We can't save ourselves, but Christ saves his people from their sins. And preachers are just sinners saved by grace. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. So Paul's battling preacher worship in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he wrote this magnificent portion of Scripture. Again, pointing the Corinthians to Christ and him alone. Pointing their eyes away from the various preachers and saying it's all about Christ. You see, it's not about the preacher. We're just mouthpieces. We've been given a message and we proclaim what we believe. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. So then neither it is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Preacher can't save no one. But we point sinners to the one who can save sinners. Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now remember our verse in Colossians that says built up in him, right? Built up in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace which God hath given me, unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So another preacher comes, preach the same gospel. Right? But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay other than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the one foundation that gospel preachers lay. Christ in him alone. That's why we say we must preach Christ and no one else. We don't preach ourselves. We don't tell you what to do. We don't chastise you. Right? We preach Christ. We preach Christ and him alone. He is the only one who can save you. That's it. And he's the only one we rest in. See, I rest in him every day. That's what I preach. I preach we're to rest in Christ. Because I try to rest in him every day. Something come up, I get awful. Worked up about some things sometimes, just like normal sinners. Right? But I constantly go back to him. Go back to him. Something came up last week. I got myself a little worked up. I admit it, I did. I got myself a little worked up. Got myself in a dither. And I remembered a verse that I memorized. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it brought me such comfort. Because right away my mind was fixed back on my King. And I knew that whatever came, he already knows about it. He's going to take care of me. It's good to have those verses written to our hearts. Oh boy. But that's it's a blessing. And that's why I keep saying we got to keep our eyes on Christ. Because when I get in a dither, when I get in troubles, when I get my mind off Christ and I get it on the circumstance, and then but see, the Lord, the Holy Spirit brings us right back to the Word, doesn't he? And then we get comfort, and we get the peace that passes all understanding again. Oh my, God's so good to us. So Christ is the only sure foundation. Now let's actually turn to Ephesians 2. I know I had you go to 3, but we'll go there later. This is where I wanted to go. Ephesians chapter 2. Christ is the only sure foundation, the only true foundation. As the saints of God are compared to a building, to a house, a temple, an habitation for God through the Holy Spirit, and Christ is the only sure foundation on which they are built upon. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, speaking of God's people, and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the apostles and prophets, they preach Christ. That's who they preached. There's only one cornerstone, one foundation. That's Christ and him alone. In whom all the building, meaning all of God's people, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So God's people trust their eternal souls to Christ and him alone, who is the foundation for us and the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our salvation. And we are safe and secure only in Christ and him alone. Not in anything we do, not by our works. Scripture says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. His mercy. It's all about what he's done. It's all about what Christ has done. So we continue to walk in the faith, being built up in him, established in the faith with him as our hope. And our hope is firmly set upon Christ Jesus our Lord. Nowhere else. Remember what I said? For me, when I get my eyes off, I'm in trouble. But when I get back on, my eyes focused back on Christ, oh my. Oh my. So this leads to our next point in our text. It says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So we'll look at established in the faith, as ye have been taught. So as we grow in grace, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, as we are built up in Christ, God will establish us or strengthen us in the faith. And as we've been taught, we will be established in the doctrine of faith concerning Christ. I'll read Hebrews 13:8. It says this, Jesus Christ the same, or 8 and 9, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God never changes. He's the same. He's the same. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. Don't be carried about with strange doctrine. Someone tells you salvation's by baptism, you say, no, it's not. It's by grace alone. Because that's what Scripture declares. Someone says, well, you got to do this. It's salvation by the grace of God plus this. You say, no. Salvation's by the pure, free, and sovereign grace of God in Christ plus nothing. That's what. We're not tossed to and fro by divers doctrines. We stick to what this Word says, period. And this Word says salvation's of the Lord. That means it's not of my doing. That means my King has saved me from my sins. And I've received that grace. And I've received that mercy. I obtained mercy, like Paul said. I obtained it. I didn't work for it. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Oh, what a gift. What a gift of God. So we're rooted and built up in him. We're not easily tossed to and fro. And it continues to say, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So the believer never grows weary. Never grows weary of old truths. Never. Never grows weary of old gospel truths. We're not moved by new revelations when someone says, well, over here, we're doing this. No, we're going to just keep preaching the gospel. We're just going to keep preaching the gospel. We're not moved by new revelations from teachers who glory in the flesh. Who glory in the flesh. We're not easily offended. We're not driven about with every word of doctrine. We're not tossed to and fro. No, we're fixed, right? Rooted. Built up. Established. It's not our doing, though. It's God the Holy Spirit doing it. In us. Strengthened by Him. It's incredible. It's incredible. And it makes you thankful. It makes you real thankful. Oh, my. So we're established in Christ, who's our foundation. This building is firmly established in Christ. And our faith grows. It grows as we're taught by the Holy Spirit of God, as we hear the preaching of the gospel, As we read Scripture, we grow in the grace and knowledge of truth of Christ, and we don't grow to brag about us. We brag on Christ. We boast in Christ. He's our boast. Look what the Lord has done for me. He's redeemed me from all my sins, past, present, and future. Again, how can you say future? Because every one of my sins was future at Calvary's cross, and He paid it all. He cried, it's finished. It doesn't give us, I always say this because we have to qualify it. It doesn't mean we can go out the door and go crazy. Absolutely not. We're not antinomians. The love of Christ constrains us. It never did before. But for the believer, it does now. Oh, it's incredible. Sinners saved by the grace of God in Christ and kept. Sinners still, but saved sinners and kept by the grace of God. Oh, what a gospel. Oh, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a Redeemer. So let's look at our last text, or let's read our text again. It says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. So we're established in the faith, established in Christ. And our faith and our hope is in Christ. As ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now I want to do a quick note on the Greek tenses here. The Greek tenses. The word rooted is in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense. The perfect tense. And what that means is, I'll read what I pulled from a Greek book here. I thought this was really good. The basic thought of the perfect tense is that the progress of an action, so the progress of rooted, right? The progress of an action has been completed. See, the believer, what he believes is rooted. The true believer is rooted. How else are we kept? We're rooted. Rooted in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit keeps us, right? But the true believer is rooted in the foundation of Christ. But listen to this. The tense is the progress of an action that's being completed, and the results of the action are continuing on. We're continually being rooted in Christ. By the preaching of the gospel. It's magnificent. It's magnificent. In full effect, it says. It's continuing on in full effect. It's incredible. So unlike the English perfect tense, which indicates a completed past action, and that's it, the Greek perfect tense indicates a continuation. A continuation. In present state of a completed action. We're rooted. And it's complete, and it continues. It's magnificent. It's absolutely magnificent. And we looked at the definition of rooted, and we saw, and think of this, in the definition of the Greek word rooted, remember, it caused to strike root. And it's a continuous act. We're continuously grabbing the rock, rooted to the rock. It's amazing. And this is pointing, I was thinking about this, this is pointing to Christ being the author of our salvation. He's the author of our salvation. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, right? And we're rooted into Christ. And then since it's a continuous action, it also speaks of the Omega. Continuously rooted. The finisher of our salvation. It's magnificent. The finisher. And so we can conclude, as Scripture says, we're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. Built up in Christ, established and taught by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel. Now, built up and established, being defined as to strengthen or established, are in the present tense in the Greek. The present tense usually means a continuous action. continuous kind of action. It shows action in progress or a state of persistence. We're continuously being built up and established in Christ, in Him. How? By the preaching of the gospel, by the reading of the word, by prayer. The believer is built up and established in the faith, which is only in Christ Jesus, right? He is the object of our faith. And He is our Lord, and it's only in Him and Him alone. Our text continues proclaiming that we are being taught, and we know from John, turn if you would to John 6:45. We know from reading in John that it's the Spirit of God who teaches us the things of Christ. He will not speak of Himself. Here point us to Christ and Him alone. To Christ and Him alone. John 6:45 says this, "It is written in the prophets," and we know the prophets speak of Christ, "and they shall be all taught of God." All God's people are taught of God. Taught of God. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. And they shall be all taught of God." And look at our text, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. John 6:45. Taught of God. God, the Holy Spirit, uses the preaching of the gospel by man called of God to root, build up, and establish the saints of God in the faith. And I get rooted and built up as I study or as I listen to messages. This lit me up today when I was looking at those tenses. That's incredible. What a magnificent salvation we have in Christ. It's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. So we're built up. God uses the preaching of the gospel by man called of God, again, to root up, establish the saints in the faith. And that faith is only in Christ Jesus and Him alone. And He continues, the Holy Spirit continues to build us up through the preaching of His Word, through the preaching of the gospel. Now let us look at the last part of this verse tonight, which says, "Abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now ungrateful hearts have never been taught of God. Ungrateful hearts have never been taught of God. Those untaught hearts do not understand the meaning of the word grace. And they have absolutely no understanding of the word grace. I didn't before the Lord saved me. I didn't even think about that word, to be honest with you. It's just something we used to say before dinner, only on special occasions. And I was a good Catholic. So that meant 2-3 times a year we'd say that. And all it meant was asking a blessing for the food. It really didn't mean anything. But now the word grace, it's so precious. It's so precious. Oh my, what a word. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Oh my. Sister Bonnie sent out an email this week about Sister Jill's baby shower. And I love what she put at the end. I'm actually getting Vicki to make me a sign for my study. I loved it. And it made me rejoice. She wrote the words, "Rejoice, our Lord is King. Rejoice, our Lord is King." Oh, if I could just keep that in front of me. My, oh my. Eh? And the new heart which God gives His people, rejoices and full of thanksgiving, which our text finishes with tonight. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I'm not meaning we're always super happy, and I don't believe in them mountaintop, when I was in religion, it was all about mountaintop Christianity. You always got to be at the mountain, but when you hit that valley, man, you just crashed and burned. No, the Christian life is this. Peaks and valleys. We know. We who believe know. We get down. We get sorrowful. We have hard times and we have easy times. But what's the constant? Christ, right? The object of our faith. The object of our faith. And we do abound with thanksgiving. When we get our, like I told you guys earlier, when I get my eyes on Christ, I start to rejoice. That peace that passes all understanding, eh? Fills the hearts and minds of God's people. So the new heart that God gives His people rejoices and is full of thanksgiving. And as we are rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith of God's elect, our hearts will abound therein with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And we will rejoice. We'll rejoice in our great God and King. And we'll rejoice in what He's done for us. He went to Calvary's cross. The God-man. God incarnate in the flesh. Goes to Calvary's cross and bleeds and dies there for the sins of His people. He lived the perfect life for me. Because I couldn't fulfill the law. And if you believe, for you, it's incredible. And then He goes to the cross and He dies before the wrath and justice of God. For the sins of all His people. And He cries with a loud voice, "It's finished." Oh, it makes me rejoice. He says, so with you, eh? If you're forgiven, it makes you rejoice. The wrath of God for my sins has been extinguished. That's what propitiation means. Extinguished. The wrath and justice of God against my sins, against the sins of all His people, is extinguished. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Oh my, my, oh my. And think of this. The more we're taught of God, the more that we learn of Christ, the more we will grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us, the more. And as a result of us growing in Christ and learning of Him, the more our hearts will abound with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving springs out of a grateful, redeemed heart. This heart, the old heart, the heart of flesh I had, didn't rejoice in God. But I'm born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And now I rejoice with thanksgiving in Christ and what He's done for me. Now think on this. Here are some things our hearts will abound in as we are rooted and built up in Him, established, right? Fixed, strengthened, established in the faith. Here are some things. Our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God for His electing grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. He chose a people based upon nothing in us, and according to the pleasure of His will. And we rejoice with thanksgiving. That song Sister Kathy sang, we rejoice that He included me. And it's so? And it's so? Oh my. Our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God for His redeeming grace through Christ Jesus our Redeemer. We receive the grace of God through Christ and what He's done. And our hearts rejoice with thanksgiving. Our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God for His sanctifying grace that brought us to Christ. He's made us holy. Now I know we who believe don't feel that way, I know. But we're sanctified in Christ. Set apart. Made holy. Our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God for His preserving grace. His preserving grace in Christ Jesus. In Christ. He preserves His people. Those He saves, He keeps. He keeps us. If it was up to us, we'd lose our salvation 1,000 times a day. But He keeps His people. And God's people rejoice. We abound with thanksgiving. Oh, I'm thankful He keeps me. Because I can't keep myself. Our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God, for again, for His preserving grace that keeps us looking to Christ. Keeps us looking to Him. No matter what comes, we look to Christ. We may get our eyes on the circumstances for a little while, and then we look right back to Him. And I know for me, I say, Lord, forgive me for even looking away. I should have kept my eyes on You. Oh, and our hearts will abound with thanksgiving to our wonderful God for His gifts of faith and repentance and the saving faith that only rests in Christ and Christ alone. It doesn't rest in anything we do. So we grow in our understanding of these words from our God. We're growing our understanding as we grow in the understanding of who Christ is, and we grow in grace, we're growing our understanding of these words from God, which says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Lord Jesus Christ is our heavenly Joseph. Remember, everyone had to go to Joseph, didn't they? Christ is our heavenly Joseph. He has everything we need. Everything. And God our Father has put all things into His sovereign hand, just as Pharaoh did to Joseph. Remember? Everybody had to go to Joseph. They didn't go to Pharaoh. They went to Joseph. Joseph's a picture of Christ. He's a picture of Christ. And all blessings we receive, whether they are physical or spiritual, come from God. Come from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. All blessings we receive. Jesus Christ gives His chosen people all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. He gives it to us. He gives it to us. Only those who are taught of God will know this to be true. And only those who have been taught of God will abound in thanksgiving. Only those who have been taught of God will abound in thanksgiving, praising and extolling and honoring the King of Heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this verse we've looked at tonight and last week's verse, we see Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, as once again, building on the foundation which has been laid by Epaphras, right, by preaching the gospel in chapter 1. Paul building upon that foundation, right, by the preaching of the gospel, is now encouraging the saints in Colossae to rest and repose and walk your life the same way by faith as you receive Christ. Walk by faith. He's encouraging the saints of God at Colossae to rest and repose in Christ Jesus and Him alone. And again, he's building up the all-sufficiency of Christ in contrast to the error which has been coming into the Colossian church. So we see him, we see Paul proclaiming the all-sufficiency and the supremacy of Christ in chapter 1 and all that, all through there, but also mixing in some exhortations to look to Christ, look to him. Again, we see him doing the same thing in chapter 2. It's magnificent. Magnificent. Just pointing right to Christ. Look to Christ. Look to Him alone. May God give us the strength and grace to do the same as the Colossian believers, to look to Him. And we say, to God be all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. He gets it all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, thank You for sending Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners. I know, we know that You and the Son and the Holy Spirit entered into a covenant in eternity past to save a people. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, died upon the cross, and redeemed those people. And we who are saved are just so grateful. So grateful that You included us. And may we as these Colossian believers be built up, established in the faith by the preaching of your word. May we look to you, Lord Jesus, and you alone, and give you all the glory and honor and praise, and may we do it with abundant thanksgiving. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.